This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Holsworth joins us on Monday afternoons to talk a little Virginia politics and get us updated about what's going on in the world of politics here in the Commonwealth. Bob, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, Coy. How have you been?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little bit overwhelmed. This is one of my busiest times of year. I got a lot going on and trying to help the elves, and I was actually doing a little bit of elf helping during lunch today at the mall, and it was just jammed. It was just unbelievable how many people are out shopping right now.
Well, that's great to see people at the mall then, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is. That's what we want to see, you know, a little healthy economy. Speaking of the economy now, Virginia is gearing up for what they say could be a rough year next year for local governments. We could see some serious pain at the local level and some real serious cuts in services across the board for local, you know, city councils and board of supervisors making some tough decisions in 2010.
Coy, I think that's going to be the big story, actually, for the next 2 or 3 months. Besides the story of Bob McDonnell's opening days as governor, I think we're going to just hear story after story about local governments having to reduce services or lay off staff or do things that they really haven't had to do in quite some time. You know, we're seeing it up your way with Albemarle, and we're seeing it really across the Commonwealth right now.
Yeah. Now, the related story, of course, are the budgets, which local governments are putting them together now. Governor Kane. I've never understood, Bob, why the lame duck governors put in a budget that just, you know, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, are going to be totally overhauled by the new governor coming in.
Well, you know, sometimes it's not totally overhauled, but what I don't like about it, Coy, in particular, is that it really doesn't connect budgetary responsibility with accountability. Why should you have a governor putting in a 2-year budget as he gets ready to leave office? When I was executive director of the Wilder Commission, that group made a recommendation, which I thought was really sensible, which was to ultimately alter the budget cycle so that the new governor would come in the second year of the biennial budget cycle, and then in his second year would be able to propose his own budget from scratch, you might say. Right now, Bob McDonnell inherits Tim Kaine's budget, which we know he's going to have to make some pretty significant changes in it within a 2-week period, you might say. And then he doesn't get to propose his own budget from scratch until his third year in office. I just don't think that's a good system, and
that's
I think
crazy.
It ought to be changed.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think of the chances we might see that changed? Because it just doesn't make sense on the face of it.
You know, it's been proposed a number of times. Last year, Chris Saxman and Albert Pollard proposed it in a bipartisan way. And what happens is that the forces of inertia usually overcome the forces of change. But my sense is that this would make it very much easier to tie budgetary responsibility and accountability together, and they should go hand in hand.
Absolutely. We are fortunate to be talking with Bob Holsworth. He's the founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com. It's must reading for anyone who wants to follow Virginia politics and know the very latest updates about what's going on in the world of state and local government. So what do we know at this point, Bob, about Tim Kaine's outgoing budget that he and his team have been working on?
Well, we don't know about it in specifics, but we know 2 or 3 things, Coy. First, we know that it's going to be a very challenging budget for them, particularly when they put forward the second year budget that they'll have to use without federal stimulus dollars. It's going to be tough this year, even tougher probably, with some of the assumptions they're going to have to make for the following year. Secondly, Tim Kaine has basically hinted pretty strongly that there are going to be some revenue enhancements in this budget. And what that will mean will be probably some rollback of tax breaks and tax credits that groups or people are getting for certain kinds of behavior. And the big question on the table is whether he is really going to propose rolling back the state contribution to the car tax relief. And that's
Whoa.
A huge issue.
Yeah.
And why I'm not so sure we'll see it, but that we could, is that that would really be passing the buck in many ways right back to the localities. Because at the moment what happens is that the money you don't pay, you might say, for the part of the car tax that has been rolled back is paid by the state to your locality. And if Tim Kaine decides as an outgoing governor that he is not going to recommend that the state contribute to that relief any longer, the localities will be faced with another big issue. Now, my sense is that that's something Bob McDonnell won't go along with. It really has no possibility of passing the assembly. But what it would do is that it would put the localities in a realm of, you might say, even greater uncertainty for the next couple of months.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. And Bob, just to set the record straight, they never really did get rid of all the car tax, right?
No, they got up to about 70% COI. And then what happened after that is that very recently the General Assembly has capped the total amount of car tax relief that it is going to be giving to localities. So essentially what has been happening the last couple of years is that localities have been charging people a little more, you might say, or that the public is paying a little more for the car tax, in the sense that the General Assembly has basically capped the total amount that it's going to pay. So what that has meant is that the car tax hasn't been totally eliminated by any means, and in fact we've been kind of slowly creeping, you might say, to an expansion of the car tax that individuals will pay. But at the same time, it's nowhere near the amount they paid prior to 1997, where somebody in Fairfax County, let us say, in a family that had two SUVs, might be paying, you know, $4,000 for car tax.
So, Bob, we are really seeing government in Virginia, whether at the state or the local level, being really compelled and forced, is the word, to do what families across the state are doing, and that's to figure out how to get by with less.
Exactly. That, you know, the state is not projecting that it would have as much money in its coffers as it had in 2008 until 2012, 2013.
Wow.
In the past, Coy, when we've spoken about reductions in budgets, we've often been speaking about shortfalls in projected growth. You project a growth rate of 5%, and the state's only going to make 2%, and you say you have this shortfall. What we've been having in the last couple of years are absolute shortfalls, just like many families have had. And so I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people are not very sympathetic to the move to raise taxes considerably, because they can't simply automatically raise more revenues in their own families.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth. He's the founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com. Check out the website. You'll be surprised what you can learn. There's a whole lot there. Bob, flesh something out for me. You posted today a very brief article that simply says, here's how McDonald can strike fear into the hearts of the Democrats.
Well, this was just a little fun piece, Paul, because you know, Governor Kaine has said he's going to promote these revenue enhancements in his outgoing budget, and they might even include some what would be effective tax increases or rollbacks of tax credits. And what I said is that Bob McDonnell has said he's not going to go along with this, but one trick that could be used, and the Democrats once used this with the Republicans, is just to have the Democrats vote on the outgoing governor's budget, see what they think, and see how many Democrats want to be on the line, you might say, for voting for things that could be described as a potential tax increase. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but it just goes to show that in some ways Governor Kaine can basically put forward the budget that he thinks Virginia should have, knowing that there's not going to be any political responsibility or accountability that even any members of his own party will really have to take about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like saying, okay, draw up your ideal family budget and then walk away and go to a different checking account.
Right, exactly. And so that's why that system of having the outgoing governor present a two-year budget really ought to be changed.
Bob, we had big news coming out of the 5th District, the 5th Congressional, U.S. Congressional District here, which includes our listening area, regarding how they will choose a Republican candidate to run against incumbent Tom Perriello. And that was big news. I was surprised, actually.
Yeah, it was big news, and quite, I think a lot of people were surprised. Most people thought that ultimately the 5th District Committee would vote for a convention of some kind, and that they wouldn't decide to hold a primary. Republicans have been very wary about primaries, in part because I think some of the more conservative wing of the party believe they do better at conventions or firehouse primaries. And then secondly, I think Republicans have always been very upset with the Virginia system where you don't have party registration, and that means Democrats or independents can come in and vote in a Republican primary. And that always seems to me to be a fairly legitimate concern that they might have. But what happened this weekend is the 5th District Committee decided to hold a primary for the Republican Party to select its nominee to fight against Tom Perriello in what is going to be one of the most heated congressional races of 2010 in the country. And I think the conventional wisdom on this is that almost all of the Republican contenders prefer to have the convention, with the exception of Robert Hurt, the state senator from the Martinsville-Danville area. And my sense is that this is probably a good procedural victory for Hurt, that he was the only one who really strongly was in favor of a primary, and he got what he wanted.
And just, I got a bunch of questions about that. Just for, help me understand something. I was under the belief that that crossover vote, you know, the fear that, oh, no, the other party, they're going to come in and vote in our primary and select our candidate, that that is so minuscule and has never actually been any kind of, there's never been any substantial crossover voting of whether it's Democrats voting in a Republican primary or vice versa.
You know, it's hard to find what I would call hard evidence of that, Coy. But there's a lot of anecdotal evidence, and it's that kind of anecdotal evidence that drives a lot of these party activists wild. You know, when they hear of 500 Democrats coming in to vote, and in particular in some of these close races, close primary elections, they really think it might have happened. And I'll give a couple of examples. A couple of years ago, Walter Stosch had a big contentious fight against some folks who didn't like the fact that he had supported the 2004 tax increase package. And he won, you know, by a couple hundred votes. And there are a lot of Republicans who this day believe that it was Stosch's standing with independents and Democrats who knew that there wasn't going to be a Democratic challenger in that race that might have contributed to his victory in the primary. Again, we don't have any hard evidence of that. But the fact is that Stosch is somebody who is very well liked in his district beyond the confines of his own party, and it's probably not out of the question that a couple hundred people who normally don't consider themselves Republicans may have come out in that election and voted in it. So it's that kind of anecdote and that kind of belief that has really angered the activists in this regard.
We're talking with Bob Holdsworth, the founder and president of VirginiaTomorrow.com. You can learn a whole lot about the latest on Virginia politics at the state and local level at VirginiaTomorrow.com. So the Republicans in the 5th District now will choose a candidate to run against Tom Perriello in a primary, a district-wide primary that nobody's going to—you don't have to sign anything or do party identification or anything like that. If you want to vote in it, you can go in and just vote, right?
Well, I think so. They may ask people to sign some pledge that they're going to support the Republican candidate in the fall, but all those kind of pledges are non-binding. What it does do is that it really gives an advantage to people who either have some name recognition with which to begin or the financial resources to develop that recognition over time. And I think that's one of the reasons why Robert Hurt was so intent on this, is that he thought, you know, a convention could really be a problem, particularly if it was held in part of the district that wasn't near his home base.
Yeah, because you got to then bus the people over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, no, if it was held in the Albemarle area, he saw a real, real problem with that. And then secondly, because he's a sitting state senator, because he sits on committees, he already has a fundraising base that he thinks he'll be able to tap again for this contest. But I think one has to recognize that Republican nomination contests are often wild affairs, and they're often wildly unpredictable as well.
Yeah. Well, if the Democrats did cross over, it's unlikely that they would be voting for Robert Hurt, who tends to be arguably the more moderate candidate in that existing pool.
Actually, you're probably right there, Coy, for sure, that there would probably be... I think Hurt might get some of the moderate or independent vote that would come there.
Yeah.
But the Democrats who are hoping to save Tom Perriello's seat probably don't want Robert Hurt to be the candidate.
No, they'd look for a more extreme candidate that might be less appealing to moderates and independents.
I think that's exactly the case.
Bob Holdsworth, VirginiaTomorrow.com. What's the latest on this whole redefining of the position of lieutenant governor in Virginia? And we're going to see something a little bit different in this new administration, right?
That was very interesting. Last week, Bob McDonnell held a press conference with Bill Bowling and said he was creating a cabinet-level position that wouldn't add to Bowling's pay as lieutenant governor, which is very, very modest, somewhere in the $30,000 range. And he said he was going to make Bowling the chief jobs creation officer in the Commonwealth. He was going to basically lead a commission on job creation, that he was going to spend some time with the governor going around the state trying to develop strategies for job creation. So essentially, this is really an elevation of the lieutenant governor's role and a tremendous opportunity, you might say, for Bill Bowling to become a little more visible than lieutenant governors normally do. And it probably carries a little bit of risk if they're not so successful. But overall, I think this is something that's probably not bad for Virginia to give the lieutenant governor some real responsibilities. But secondly, I think it's very good for Bill Bowling because it puts him on a day-to-day basis, you might say, in contact with people who fund Virginia politics, many of the business leaders, and it puts him in the middle of what is arguably, I think, the most critical issue facing Virginia right now.
Yeah, the economy and jobs. It's also going to make it a lot more of a competitive nomination race between Bowling and Cuccinelli, elevating Bowling to this new position.
Well, I think a lot of people thought that this was some kind of way of trying to foreclose the possibility of that contest, that maybe what Bob McDonnell was signaling early on here was that Bill Bowling, who waited here, is really next in line. But one never knows what's going to happen 4 years from now with Ken Cuccinelli. And, of course, there's always that speculation that there's another former governor by the name of George Allen who might be interested in that position.
Interesting. Hey, Bob, before we let you go, there were five young men from Northern Virginia in Pakistan who were arrested as being potential terrorists. And something about that, they were recruited on YouTube and attending college in Virginia. What is this all about?
Well, some attended college in Virginia. I think that we had some in Washington, D.C. as well. But what happened is that we had these people arrested in Pakistan who apparently seemed to be wanting to get training from Al-Qaeda. Ironically, it seemed that Al-Qaeda was very suspicious of them as well, thought they might be CIA plants coming their way, and they weren't embracing them with open arms. But what it showed is that there's a lot of Al-Qaeda and jihadist recruitment going on right now on YouTube and on the Internet, and it's coming to people who are living in Americans, in many respects, American citizens, and attending and can even be attending American universities. So my sense is that there's going to be far more attention paid to this issue over the next year, and no one's really mentioned it yet, but my sense is that we're going to see some greater interest in trying to understand what might be happening at some universities as well.
Wow. Bob Holdsworth, the founder and president of VirginiaTomorrow.com, joins us every Monday afternoon. Bob, thanks so much, sir. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas.
Same to you, Coy. Great to be here again.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.